Well, I'm so glad to see y'all out in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope you're being blessed. I hope the altar being open to you was a blessing. Now, this is a test to see what happens here. I was told I don't give y'all enough freedom in the altar, so you have freedom in the altars. And the dancers can relax their legs. And the flags can rest. But we're supposed to be praising. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you for all those that came out to sit at your table this morning. I want you, Father God, to feed them fresh manna from heaven. I want you to give them revelation upon revelation. And Father God, I'm asking that you release a spirit of understanding so that they understand what is going on around about them. And Father, I know your angelic hosts are in this place. Let them minister to your people, Father God. Let them meet every need this morning. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is releasing new revelation about what's going on in the atmosphere and even to his people. God gave me a great revelation this weekend, and Brother Christopher is getting a teaching on it, and he's going to give it probably next Sunday morning, I'm not sure. But I do hope when he gives it, you'll really listen to what he has to say, because it's a great revelation about what's going on in your life. And God gave me this revelation because of an attack that I had on my health over the weekend, before the weekend. And we got to looking it up, and Brother Chris got prayed with me, and God told him what the spirit was, and we got looking it up, and it's quite awesome. And the body of Christ still does not understand yet what they are fighting against. They don't understand what's going on around about them. But I do believe that God is going to, through this revelation that we're going to bring to you, that you're going to start understanding what's really going on around about you and how real devils are, how real angels are, and that we have angels constantly at our beck and call, and our problem is we're not using these angels. And we need to start using the angels of God to do our battles for us, and we have to quit trying to do everything ourselves, because really and truly we can't do anything ourselves, but the angels of God can do all things. You know, there's a dark world out there that's going to hell every second of every day, because the body of Christ still does not understand a rightful place in God. And the body of Christ still does not understand the full concept of demonic beings and angelic beings. And once we get the full concept of it, which we should do that real quick, like, then we're going to find out that we're going to be able to destroy the darkness before they ever walk through the doors, because a great revival will happen on the streets. And you're going to see people set free. Now, you know, the addiction that's out there, that if you read anything in the news, it's running rampant everywhere and in all phases of life. And this is something that we, the body of Christ, have got to get revelation from God on how to defeat this. Nobody else is going to defeat it except the children of God. You know that, don't you? And so our job is to start studying this super harder than we already have, so that we can give revelation knowledge and set these people free. And I know that I know that I know that you can sit in your own living room and set the captives free. You know, wherever they may be, as your prayers go forth, God can send angels to set those captives free. You don't have to know their names. You just have to know they're out there. And then you just pray for them. All right? There's a whole lot stirring in the mulberry bushes right now. There's a whole lot of things going on that you're not even aware of, you know, in the spirit realm. And we have to become aware of all things. And God said he was going to give us supernatural revelation. Isn't that what he said? And so how many of you are really listening for God to give you that supernatural revelation, seeking God's face? All right, God, reveal to me what it is that I need to know in this, for this end time dispensation. Because the war that we're in now is really a rough war. And you're not going to win the war just by sitting around thinking about it. You're going to have to put your thoughts into action. And you're going to have to start fighting the principalities and the powers in the air. All right? This morning I want to talk about fire starters. And if you become a fire starter, you'll destroy the enemy wherever you go. The fire of God will just naturally be in you, and every place you go, the enemy's going to jump up and carry on and leave. See, Jesus was a fire starter, was he not? And every place Jesus went, the demons said, what do you have to do with me? They immediately knew they had to leave. They could not stay in the presence of God. So how come the demons stay in your presence? This is food for thought. I want you to start thinking about, why do the demons not yell and run whenever they come into your presence or you walk into theirs? Why are they content to stay right where they're at? All right, with the Holy Spirit presence comes the presence of God's fire. This fire is a fire of transformation. We are being transformed from inside out as the Spirit of God works in our lives. See, it has to start on the inside and work out. It just can't be on the outside and the inside dirty. It has to start on the inside and work out. So you need to say, God, send your purging fire inside me. Cleanse me from the inside out. This is what your prayer should be every day. Christians are fire starters because God's Spirit is at work within each and every believer. Are you a fire starter? See, this is food for thought today. Are you a true fire starter? Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. He says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, we are receiving the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Hell can be shaken. It can be rocked right off its foundation. But the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Hebrews 12:27 then says, the phrase one last shaking means a thorough house cleaning. And God told me he's doing one last shaking in the body of Christ. So the phrase one last shaking means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. And this one's in the Message Bible. Verse 28, do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God, for God is not an indifferent bystander. He's actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn, and he won't quit until it's all cleansed. God himself is fire. Now, if you've truly asked God to clean you up, then he's cleaning you up. And he's not going to quit until you're totally clean. So quit your fussing at all the dust that he's bringing up. Amen? Cleanse me, Lord, but just don't make a mess. You have to, when you're cleaning, you use it to make a mess, right? Everything get disarrayed, and then everything get cleaned, and everything's put back in order. And this is what God is doing with the body, has been doing with the body of Christ, and the body of Christ have been complaining and dragging our feet because we really don't want that deep cleaning. We want that little surface cleaning like some people do, you know, just dust around the edges and leave everything else alone. And God's not doing that. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken within each side of us. All right, I said that, the scripture said that God himself is fire. We should not be dead, lifeless Christians. Our walk should be one of baptism of fire. And Luke 3:16 says, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. See, I just wonder sometime if some of you ever got baptized, because I don't see the fire. You see what I'm saying here? You know, it says there, John said he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Then Luke 3:16 in the Message Bible says, but John intervened, I'm baptizing you here in the river. The main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life, a fire of the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. You know, that's why I really believe, that's why you see some people who are really changed and then other people who aren't. You didn't get that fire inside when you got baptized. That's why when we do baptize people, I really stress the importance of baptism. and how you must really, truly want to be baptized, and that when you go down in that water, when one way you come up changed. Are you hearing this? Too many people go in the water just bloop, bloop, well, I got baptized. That doesn't do nothing. You have to really desire to be changed from the inside out. All right, God is a God of fire. In Hebrews 12:29, the Message Bible. He's actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn, and he won't quit until it's all cleansed. God himself is fire. And Revelation 2:18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. His eyes are like a flame of fire. He came with fire. In Isaiah 29:6, you will be punished by the Lord of hosts with thunder and earthquake and great noise with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. Luke 12:49, I came to send fire on the earth, but how I wished it were already kindled. This is Jesus speaking. I came to send fire on the earth, but how I wished it were already kindled. He demonstrated his power to the world with fire. In Luke 12:50, I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up, how I long for it to be finished. Do you think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. From now on, when you find five in a house, it will be three against two and two against three. Father against son and son against daughter. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against bride and bride against mother-in-law. Isn't that how it's going right now? And God is trying to clean up and people don't want to clean up. I'm going to stop right here. If you don't want a prophetic word from me, please, when I come to you, please say, don't speak over me. The last service, some people got disgruntled and said, that can't be of God. I don't know you. I mean, I might know you, but I don't know what you're doing. I just know you've been around. And, you know, and when God, when if you don't know me by now, then you don't want me laying hands on you anyhow, because when God speaks through me as God, I don't place anything in God's word. You know, so if you really don't want a prophetic word, but then just say so and we'll leave you alone. But if you want a prophetic word, then you're going to have to receive the full gospel, not just what you want to hear, but the full gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, whatever he wants to speak into your life. And right now God is cleansing and he's bringing that fire and he's trying to clean you from inside out. And if you reject what he says, then you've rejected him too. All right? Deuteronomy 9:3 says, today know this, God, your God, is crossing the river ahead of you. He's a consuming fire. He will destroy the nations. He will put them under your power. You will dispossess them and very quickly wipe them out, just as God promised you would. Do you really believe God's promises? Do you really believe his promises that he's spoken over your life? Some don't. God speaks a word to you, and he tells you he's going to do this, this, and this, and this, and it doesn't come to pass immediately, so you wipe it off as just not true. God does everything in his timing and not in ours. And I have found out over the years that I've been ministering that sometimes God takes a long time to do what he says he's going to do, because sometimes some people will take a long time to get fixed up. You know, didn't take you hardly any time at all to get messed up. But sometimes it takes you a long time to get fixed up. And so, you know, and God's not pushy. God works with you with love and compassion and grace. And he just keeps nudging you along, keeps encouraging you until one day finally you say, oh, this is truly God and he really does love me and I want to follow him. I've been watching that, and that's just how people work. They have to understand that God really does love them, because they've worked under the devil for so long that all they can think of is hate, and they can't imagine anybody loving them the way God loves them. Are you listening here? When you're working with people, you have to find out where they come from and how much hate they've lived under to understand why they can't receive the love of God immediately. A lot of people can't. So what do we have to be? Vessels of love and honor. We have to ask God to go down inside them and purge them with his fire. Burn out all that junk that they've been used to all their life. so that they can receive Jesus, who is love. And he makes known our acceptance to him as he powerfully works in his church with fire. In Isaiah 4:4, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, that's how he does it, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for over all the glory there will be a covering. God does cover you. Always. I don't care where you're at. And if you really ask God to open up your spiritual eyes, you will see that covering, which is his angelic host around about you. Acts 2:3 says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. It is not something we need to do. It is something he must do and has promised to do for his children. This is something God has promised to do for his children. The only way John could describe the ministry of Jesus towards his children was, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Remember a couple years ago when all God did was brought fire down upon us? He was trying to get us engulfed in that fire, but some did not receive that. And I'm hearing God say they're still empty inside. And this is why God is bringing out about the fire again, because he is coming with fire. And he wants his people full of that fire so we can go out there. I'm hearing him say with the fire and the Holy Ghost, we can go out there and we can purge the darkness that's in this universe and bring light where there was darkness, total darkness. And our vessels, because we're full of the Holy Spirit and fire, we will carry that light with us. You guys that are on the streets, you should carry that light with you onto the streets. Now, I'm not saying you're going... Well, no, I'm not even going to say. I'm not going to say that you're going to have miracles, because you are going to have miracles. You are going to walk up their street and just all of a sudden that whole group of people that's gathered around are just going to be slain in the spirit and be just instantly saved. You know, and the spirit of God's going to be in them, and then they're going to go to their friends, and then they're going to be instantly saved. And you're going to see great salvations on the street. God's already said that there's going to be great salvations on the streets. If I was a street minister right now, I'd be excited, because you're going to see more on the street than you do in the house of God. Amen. People in the house of God are sort of, they're lethargic. They just sit there and, oh, well, you know, that's just God. But the people in the street don't know your God. They don't know your Jesus. They don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't even know the angelic host. And you're going to take all that to them. The street ministry is really terrific. The only way John could describe the ministry of Jesus toward his children was, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It is the ordinary experience of every Christian, and it accompanies the Spirit's baptism of them. And 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So it is the ordinary experience of every Christian, and it accompanies the Spirit's baptism of them. It's just, you know, everybody receives the Holy Spirit and fire when they are baptized, if they get baptized the right way. Amen? There's a right way to be baptized and a wrong way. And sometimes I feel like whenever you just have a multitude, let's say 15 people being baptized, you herd them in like animals and dunk them and send them back out. I don't think that you do justice to them. I think each person is an individual, and each person should be individually baptized so that they can receive all of God, all of God. I think it'd be wonderful if we could all go over to the Jordan River and get baptized. Amen. Some of you people have been over there. Have you been baptized in the Jordan River? Was it an experience? Say? Well, we can bring the Jordan River here, right? Whenever we get our baptismal pool, whatever we're baptized in, this is the Jordan River, by faith, right? God said by faith we're supposed to walk. This is the Jordan River you're going down into. When you come up, you're going to be totally changed. Amen? Come on. All right, but there is more. Either you are baptized by fire or you are destroyed by fire. The ministry of Jesus not only baptizes his children with fire, it purges and consumes those who are not his children with unquenchable fire. Luke 3:17 says he's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false he'll put out with the trash to be burned. This is all the Message Bible. So the alternatives are quite plain. You will either be baptized by fire and experience conversion and the refining of your life, or you will be swept away with unquenchable fire because of your sin. But one thing is certain, you will face the fire one way or the other. Amen? Come on. I just thank God that when I was a young girl, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire without even going to a baptismal pool. He just did it in my seat in the service. I think that's absolutely wonderful. And he was with me all the days of my life when I was young, very young. I just think that, I pray for God to do that to you guys when you're sitting here. God, just touch each and every one of them. Don't wait to an altar call, but just touch them and change them like you did me. Make their lives brand new. And then be with them all the days of their life. Give them the strength and the fortitude they need to go on and go forth. Come on. And you should be praying the same thing. God, as I sit here today, just consume me with your fire. Just burn up all the waste that's in me and make me brand new. You don't have to wait for somebody to lay hands on you. In fact, when that happened to me, the pastor sent me out of the church. He said, come on, you cried enough. Get going. I got to close the doors. And he didn't even know what happened. I didn't either, by the way, because I was too young and not taught. But still, no, you can do that. Can happen. That can really happen. As I watched you guys come up and stand in the altar, I said, God, they're being obedient to what you've done. Now, just please touch them in a special way. I like to see people touched in a special way. I like to see you full of fire and vim and vigor and do the things that God is wanting you to do. One person can't do it all. Yeah, I think about the day. I'll never forget the day when we always had a revival in here, and I walked in here and walked across the back, and the guy said, here she comes. And I said, no. I knew what they were going to do. No, don't touch me. And they grabbed me and said, fill her, Lord. And I went down in the spirit. And I'm laying there, can't get up. And I said, God, who's going to do the service? He said, I have that handle. And one of the guys got up there and God preached through him. But see, the whole congregation was so full of the fire that they didn't care. They just knew whoever they touched was going to go out in the spirit. And they picked on me that day. I thought that was, this is what we want to see. We want to see you all so full of the fire that you just know that somebody walks through the door and you shake hands, they're going to go out in the spirit. Or, if you just walk by them, they're going to go out in the spirit. And if you get somebody that's going to interrupt you on the street, you just say, get them, Lord, sick them, Lord, and they'll go out in the spirit or be glued to the sidewalk or something. We've seen God do that, glue people to the wall because this isn't God. And I say, God, show them it's God. And he glued them to the wall for the whole service. And then when they got off the wall, they said that was God. See, this is what changes people's lives. But first of all, you have to be full of the fire. You have to be purged. You have to be cleansed inside out. And then that'll pour out into everybody you meet. Come on. Are you ready for that? This is what God wants to do. He does not want you to be stale, stagnant Christians ever again from this moment forward. He wants you to be fire carriers, and you carry his fire wherever you go. And whoever you come in contact with. Wouldn't it be wonderful when you bought something in the store, you reached over to give the man your money and the man went out in the spirit. Amen? Come on. Or the people all around you just all started falling on the floor. This is the way it's supposed to be. But so far it isn't. But I know that's where God's taken us. Now, if that's not the case, then how come he's been prophesying that their anointing will be so strong on us we walk into a hospital and empty all the hospital beds? Now, that has to be the fire of God in you to do that. Are you listening? Come on. I've lost my place. All right. So I said, but one thing is certain, you will face the fire. When put that way, it is not as though anyone has an option to play around with fire. You either know its flames and purification, or you become part of the shaft that is swept away and burned. These are hard words, but they are the words of Jesus and need to be heeded. And Luke 3:17 says he's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false will put out with the trash to be burned. I'm reading these scriptures over again because you need to get in your spirit that God's going to take all that junk out. In fact, I prayed every day, God, if there's any junk in me, just burn it out. I want to be pure and I want to be holy inside out. I just don't want to be, because God said, if you're going to preach it, then live it. Right? If you're going to go in the street and preach it, then be living it before you go in the street. And you, when you go in the street, you should already be prayed up and full of the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't have to go there and all gather in a circle. Well, let's pray now that no devil in hell will, you know, will be able to stand in our presence. No, you should have all that done before you get there. I used to go to, when I was on the circuit as evangelist, I used to go to all the, GLOW meetings, and they'd all say, don't you want to go into a room there by yourself and pray? I said, no. And they, why not? I said, well, I prayed for a week before I got here. You know, and I'm already prayed up, and I already know that God's here. Some would make me go in the room and pray with them. God, just fill her with your spirit. You know, I'd already done that. You shouldn't wait till you go to get filled. You should be spending your time alone with God, praying for the fire to come in you and to be filled with the Holy Spirit before you ever get there. I don't wait till I get here and say, God, move. I'm praying all week long, God, when we go to the service, move in that service. Bring your power and bring your glory. I don't wait till I get here. Are you understanding this? And this is why the body of Christ can be in the house of God all with their feathers all ruffled, because they aren't prayed up before they get there. They come in here and say, I'll see what you can do for me today. Well, I can't do anything for you today because you didn't spend your time with God getting yourself prepared so you could be a vessel of honor that God could work through. Are you seeing this? See, you should come into the house of God already prayed up, where God, if he wants to use you to prophesy, he will. If he wants to, if he says you get up and walk around and lay hands on the people, you know, he can use you to do that, but you have to be prayed up before you get here. Oh, it's Sunday morning. I guess I got to get out of bed a little early and get dressed and go to church. You know, that's not really wanting to be in the house of God. We have missed the fact that believers in Christ are actually transformed by God's fire being at work in them. This is not to be feared, but to rejoice in. The simple truth is that we aren't seeking the Spirit's fire in our lives. We don't take the time to tend the flames, or better yet, fan them into a fire. We don't watch out for fire hazards, nor do we take the Apostle Paul seriously when he warned us not to quench the Spirit's fire. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20, don't suppress the Spirit, and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. Quit coming against the Holy Spirit. We live totally ignorant of this vital truth of grace. I believe this is the cause of the lethargy in the church. I believe we need to rediscover the truth John the Baptist proclaimed concerning the ministry of Jesus, that he would baptize his church with the Holy Spirit and with fire. If you ever read about the old revivalists, they always had fire in their services. Always, there was always fire in their services. Is there any doubt that fire is needed in the church today? No, there's no doubt in my mind. God is the fire starter. When he comes, his fire comes with him. God, move today. Bring your Holy Spirit and fire. I say, God, consume them, knock them out of their seats, and keep them on the floor for 3 hours. But then whenever they get up, make sure they're changed. They're not the same as they went down. And it's only you, God, that can do that. You and your Holy Spirit and fire can do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. You can throw yourself on the floor, but it doesn't do you any good. Are you understanding this? But if you ask God, let your Holy Spirit and fire consume me today. Consume me from inside out. Change me. Make me the vessel of fire that you can send forth to destroy the darkness in this world. And his promise to baptize his people with his Spirit and fire is our hope for change in us and in our ministries. Fire is needed in ministry today. When Christ commissioned the Apostle Paul, it was obvious that fire was in his life. You could not hold him back. He touched the Roman world with flames of the gospel wherever he went. But he said he was not to be commended for this in 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. 1 Corinthians 9:16. If I proclaim the message, it's not to get something out of it for myself. I'm compelled to do it and doomed if I don't. If you're a true minister, that's the way you are. You're not wanting to get something out of it. You're wanting the people to be changed. If this is my own idea of just another way to make a living, I'd expect some pay. But since it's not my idea, but something solemnly entrusted to me, why would I expect to get paid? So many people, how much are you going to pay me if I preach? Nothing. Come on. And so he told his apprentice Timothy to fan the flame in 2 Timothy 1:6. And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze. See, he knew that when he laid hands on Timothy that a fire went into him. And he was telling Timothy to fan that flame and keep that fire alive. He further reminded him of 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. See, he says, be ready in season and out of season. In other words, if God desires to use you, then you're ready to be used. You're already prayed up and you know, have the fire in you, and God can point his finger at you and move upon you and use you anytime he wants to. Verse 3 says, for the time will come when they, and we're in that time, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. See this? But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is hand. He's getting ready to die, and he knows it. But he's still encouraging those around about him. Then he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, everybody knows what Paul went through. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul was excited about his teaching. He was excited about being put in prison. He was excited about being persecuted. He was excited about not being understood. He didn't walk in offense of any type. He just knew who he was in Christ, and he walked on. And he was full of the fire and the Holy Spirit. And he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he didn't care what he had to go through. He knew people were going to come against him. He knew he'd be put in prison, but he still did it. How about you? Well, you know, I lose all my friends. Well, Jesus did too. Paul did too. You know, people are going to talk about me. Well, they talked about Jesus. They talked about you. There's so much going on out there in the world today, saints, that if you don't understand who you are in Christ, you're not going to make it. We need to understand that no matter where this journey takes us, it will come with God's refining fire. We need to understand that no matter where this journey takes us, it will come with God's refining fire. He's always going to be refining us. He's always going to make sure there's no trash inside of us that will seep out onto his people if you're a vessel that he uses. Are you listening here? Your hands have to be clean. Your heart has to be pure. Your thought life has to be pure. You can't go out there unholy and expect to save a lost and dying world. All right, if you're trying to save a drug addict, and you're a drug addict, how are you going to save that drug addict? You can't do that. Or if you're trying to save a drug addict and you're caught up in pornography, you can't save that drug addict. Why? Because you have them demons inside of you, and they're going to tell the other demon, you don't have to listen to this person, they're not right. And they're not going to be set free. So what God is wanting you to do, you guys go out on the streets, he wants you to be pure and holy. And whenever you speak, the demons inside those people have to pay attention. And you'll see resurrections. You'll see people cleaned up, even when they come into the house of God. And they are going to be coming into the house of God. God's been telling us that. You're going to have to be pure and holy. And I've been reading a lot where the church is not ready yet to minister to the world, because the church is not clean yet. And that's a shame. God's been trying to clean the church up for quite some time now. And that's why he says he himself is going to go out in highways and the byways. He's going to touch those people, and he's going to clean them up in a wink of an eye. And then they're going to be the ones to preach the gospel, and you're going to be sitting there saying, what happened? Are you listening? I'm hearing God, at that point you're going to become cold, stone, sober, know that you missed your calling. Nobody's getting my mantle. That should be how you think. Nobody's getting my mantle. We know this because the Bible teaches that Jesus came to bring God's fire to us in Luke 12:49. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. God's word tells us that Jesus came to bring fire to the earth and fire to the soul. Nothing will change this because we are in desperate need of a change and be changed. God has promised to do this, but fire will be involved. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, your faith is always going to be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, you know, God spoke, and they prayed for this sickness that's raging in my body, and God said, she's already healed. And so I got sicker, and I said, God, if I know you told him I'm already healed, why aren't I healed? He said, you're going to have to walk it out. In other words, I'm going to walk by faith, knowing that I'm healed. And God even said, your body's lying to you, and it's a pretty good liar. It's really convincing. But he said, you're going to have to walk this out. It's a faith walk now. Just walk it out. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. No matter how I feel, I'm healed. I'm healed. Are you understanding this? God is able to come in an instant. And I even said that to him last night, laying in bed praying. I said, you can come right now with your fire, and you can burn all this junk out. And I really won't fuss about it. I'm giving you permission to do that tonight. Amen. And set me totally free. I've been walking it out now. And I'd like for you to intervene at this point. Are you understanding this? We all understand what it means to go through fires and to come to the place where you feel like you are out there all by yourself, having to deal with things alone. We can all say amen to that, right? Say that again. We all understand what it means to go through fires and to come to the place where you feel like you are out there all by yourself, having to deal with things alone. At this point, we must remember God's word in Luke 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. See that? Because God needs his people to be fire starters, we must stop hoping for life without the refiner's fire. All right? We must find contentment in the presence of the flame. In other words, as God's burning the junk out of us, be happy. Be rejoicing. Do a happy dance, as he told Nancy. And just let him do what he needs to do. He needs to take his refiner's fire in you. And, you know, about the time you think you don't need any more refiner's fire, here comes the fire again. You're not where you think you are, so God has to come and refine you some more. There's a whole bunch going on out there in your life that you're not even aware of as of yet. In other words, the enemy has a lot of plans for you to destroy you. And God wants you to be so full of his fire and his power that it doesn't matter what the enemy brings at you, he won't be able to touch you. But see, you're going to have to give God permission to come and fill you full of that fire. Take his refiner's fire and burn all that chaff out of you. And you know who you are. Like if one day you're up clear up there in the heavens, the next day you're clear down there in hell, you know, just in discouragement, then you're not in the right place with God. If the refiner's fire is really in there purging you, you're on an even keel all the time. You're not up, down like a yo-yo. You just are not. Because whenever you know the refiner's fire has refined you, then you have faith, trusting in God, knowing that he is well able to bring you through anything that he allows to come into your life. And we all know that God allows things to come into our lives. From what I read, there isn't anything that comes into your life that God doesn't already know about it, and Satan's not already asked him for it, for you, and God's given him permission to do whatever he wants to do with you. Are you understanding this? Some of you in here tonight, this morning, you need the refiner's fire like you've never needed before because of where God is sending you to. You need that fire so bright that the devil will run in fear because he's going to see it in your eyes. Whenever you walk anywhere near him, he's going to know you're a fire starter. And he's going to know that you have yielded yourself to the refiner's fire. And then he better let you alone because you're no match for him. You're no match for him. Are you listening? We are in desperate need for God to come in fire and stir up his people. We need God to once again seal his ministry with fire. God did it in the days of Aaron and Paul. He wants to do it again today. Everybody's wanting the revival, the glory to hit, the revival to start. If you're not full of this fire, you better not be praying for the glory and the revival to hit because you're not ready for it. If you're still out there, if you're causing waves, if you're a troublemaker, you're not full of the fire of God. You still need to be refined. If you're still gossiping, if you're still backbiting, you're not full of the refiner's fire. You still need God to come in here and burn all that junk out of you. You know, if you're really trying to judge other people all the time, then you're not full of the refiner's fire. Because if you're full of the refiner's fire, you'll know that the refiner himself will go and purge those people. Instead of judging them, you just need to pray for them. Are you understanding this, church? It's time that the church becomes a holy church, a righteous church. It's time the church becomes a church full of the fire of God so that God can use us. I don't know about you, but I sure don't want my mantle to go to somebody else. I really don't. I worked too hard, too long. Came too far to give it up now. And I'm not going to give it up. And this is the way you should feel too. Devil, you're not taking my mantle from me. I'm not going to stand on sidelines and watch somebody else do what I was supposed to do. Are you listening here? This is a very important time in your life, and you've got to make some very serious decisions today. What do you really want to do for God? And if you're really serious with God and you really want him to use you in signs, wonders, and miracles, then you're going to have to let his fire come in there and purge you. You're going to have to get that little silly mind of yours straightened out. That little stupid mind that one second is fine, next second is thinking bad things about somebody. That's not God. God doesn't do that. If your mind wants to go that path, just smack yourself in the head and say, straighten up. I have the mind of Jesus, and Jesus wouldn't think that way, right? I have to do that. Stop in the name of Jesus. Jesus wouldn't have those thoughts. I do that all the time because the devil's always putting bad thoughts in your head. And and whenever it puts a sickness on my body, you're not going to make it. Just shut up in the name of Jesus. I am, because God said so. Are you listening here? So this morning, God really wants to fill you full of his fire. That's just that simple. And if you truly, truly want to be one of his vessels and you really want him to fill you full of that fire and you come up here and say you do, then get ready because he's going to refine you. He's going to burn all that junk out of you. And you're not going to be the same as you were when you came up here. And you need to quit justifying what you do. You need to just quit justifying what you do when it's not godly. Just say it for what it is, that I let the devil use me. You know, don't justify a stupidity and tell the devil, get out of here, you're not going to use me ever again. The altar's open for those of you who want the refiner's fire. And I would do this very, very seriously if I was you. I wouldn't do it haphazardly. I really wouldn't.